Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I, Jason Ophir, I know it's an unusual last name. I don't know exactly where that originates from, but it's a real name. I'm joined by the beautiful and talented Maria Wilson Duff. Maria, hello.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm okay. Not a lot going on other than I'm trying to get a house, and I think I have one nailed down, and it's going to be paid for cash, and it's brand new. Like, it's not even finished yet. And I'm hoping I'm going to be pulling the trigger on making an offer, but I'm going to try and get them to include air conditioning, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, wait, they don't have air conditioning in it?
No. And I lack me cold. That's usually something that, you know, it's like an extra that people pay for. So it's worth trying to get it for free. I mean, it's expensive. It's several thousand dollars, you know, to do the AC thing.
Yeah, it is. I couldn't, of course, see in my mind everybody should have air conditioning because where I live in the summertime, and I can remember when I was little, when we went to bed at night, we didn't have air conditioning, and if it was 85 degrees at night, then that's just what you slept and dealt with. But I'm kind of spoiled. I like this air conditioning thing, and I just don't see how people make it without it, even though we did for many, many years.
I lived for many years in an apartment-style deal that faced the sun, and when it was hot, now granted it's, you know, Oregon isn't exactly one of the hottest places on the planet, but periodically it can get quite hot. Well, this place would get so hot, there were times where I'd actually fill a bathtub with cold water and sit in it. I mean, that's how miserable that was.
Oh, that was a great idea.
Terrible. And I tried to do a ghetto air conditioner where you take a cooler, you throw block ice in it, and you put a fan, you know, you cut a hole and put a fan on it. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
So, AC. Now, the particular property that I'm looking at is pretty sheltered from the sun, so I don't think it's going to get super hot. But it's just a nice, it's a gated community and everything, so it's going to be tight. But I'm not going to hold my breath because, as you know, things, especially nowadays, just can go sideways. So I do have another backup house that I want to look at today just in case.
Well, that is a good idea. Yeah, especially, you know, you need to figure out if they built that new house on a Indian burial ground or some kind of sacred place before you move into it, Mr. PK.
Well, I'm really thinking
go well.
That I'm kind of thinking I'm going to be safe with new construction. Now, true, it could be on an Indian burial ground, but I kind of doubt it because it's a really centrally located location. It's not in the country. But you never know. I didn't get that vibe when I was there. It's not like one of these deals where I'm like walking into a house or a structure and suddenly I feel like there's demons. I didn't sense that at all. So hopefully I'm correct.
Well, usually you're okay with that. If, you know, if you'd have felt something, then your denial would have kicked in, and But if you didn't feel anything right off the bat, then you're pretty good. Because I've been into some new construction homes, and I walked in, and I was like, oh, buddy, this is going to be fun for the people that move in here.
I guess it's certainly not a guarantee, because it's true. Activity could come from the land. What I should have done is, you know, I do have my ghost hunting gadgets, my, you know, EMF meters, and I even have a Geiger counter. I should have checked that out and seen if there's any weird electromagnetics to the place.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. You know, you could sneak that in. I'm sure the realtor would look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, probably not. Or I could just grab, you know, go get me a Ouija board and see if I can talk to any spirits. And if not, then I'm good.
Yeah, let's don't do that. Yeah, you have to close those properly. You can't just play with it and go, oh, okay, I'm done.
I did notice on the drive home something I had never seen before. This area where this house is, I lived there for many, many years, so I'm really familiar with it. And I was driving home on one of the big roadways, and there's a relatively large house on the side of the road with a big-ass sign that said psychic readings. So I will
and
be living with somebody.
Never seen that before?
No, is it? No, it's relatively new. I didn't know that was still a thing. I thought that was like 80s
oh, yeah.
or 90s where you had houses that have the big psychic palm on the sign kind of thing.
No, you got to advertise. That's the best way to do it. You wouldn't believe the people that would just stop just because they saw that sign because they didn't know anybody else to get in touch with.
Maybe I should try my hand at a new career and become a psychic. I think I could do it. I could wing it.
No.
Everybody
no.
has relationship
Let's not do
problems.
That.
Everybody has money problems. Everybody has health problems. You know, I think I could do pretty good hitting on those things.
Well, you think you could read them well enough that you could tell it, huh?
Oh, yeah, I could totally tell it. I'm like the most psychic person on the planet.
Yeah, okay. You would get some kind of true vision, and then you would just explain it away, and then you would just look at them and say, I got nothing for you.
We've never met in person, but let me say that I am like the master bullshitter, so I could just pull it out of my ass. I'll make it work. Even if the information isn't true, I will get them to believe it because I always felt like my calling was to be a cult leader. So I just have those skills. Now, normally I don't like people. I don't like interacting with people. I don't like talking to people. But for some reason, I just have this innate gift of manipulation. It's really astonishing.
Well, if you were about 5'8", nobody would take you seriously, but you're what, 6'2"? 6'3"?
I would like to say I'm 6'3", but I think it's actually 6'2¼".
Okay. People tend to pay more attention to taller men than they do short guys.
Yeah. And I'm about as round as I am tall.
And
well,
you're bald,
okay,
too, so that kind of helps.
Yeah, I'm bald, too. Yeah. Well, so we were talking earlier today, we were messaging earlier today, and somebody had suggested we do a little bit of a continuation on last week's show with regards to my personal UFO experience. That, for me, is going to be a challenge because I have the memory of a rock, and I don't remember everything because I didn't keep a journal. I wish I had kept a journal. There would be so much in there. So on the previous week's show, I talked about, you know, a bunch of the, you know, the main events, and I'm searching my brain trying to come up with other sightings and stuff like that. And I have a few, but nothing really terribly interesting.
Well, what may not be interesting to you may be interesting to somebody else, unless you think you saw just a light in the sky and that's as far as it went.
Yeah, I've seen some lights. One of the things I'll add is, so when we talked on last week's show about how the strange metallic object showed up in the house, and there's like a potential UFO above the house, and all that, I don't want to go over the whole story again because it's kind of monotonous. One of the things that I didn't mention, so people are going to have to go back and listen to last week's show to know exactly what happened. But to summarize it, I guess, I came home one night. There's a light above where we lived. We found this strange metallic object in the carpet, and then we were freaked out. We buried it under a runway because the house was by a runway, and these people came out, installed this strange metal box, and all this weird stuff happened. And so one of the things that happened in the house I didn't mention, and it isn't directly related to UFOs, but I wanted to get your input on it. Before I moved into that location where that strange potential alien artifact showed up, which remains to this day unidentified, something, there was an interesting event, kind of a traumatic event happened in this house, which was the roommate that I was living with had a roommate before me. And there's an interesting story about what transpired before I had actually moved into this location. And what that was so she had this male roommate, and she one day was sitting in the living room, and she hears a gunshot, and she goes outside, and it's her roommate had grabbed her shotgun and just fired it out back. And she told him not to do that. So she took the shotgun back. She put the unloaded it, put the shotgun back in her room, and she went out to continue reading her book in the living room. Several minutes go by. This roommate comes back out with her shotgun, walks up to her, tilts the barrel to his head, and blows his head off right in front of her.
No way.
So when I moved in a short time later, I was still finding brains in the house, and you could see buckshot in the ceiling. So they'd come in and they'd cleaned out everything, and she had like this bookshelf right there where he'd done it, and she, I don't remember what it was, but there was something on the bookshelf. I picked it up, and there was like part of his brains on it. And so that had happened prior to me moving into the UFO house. So I ended up moving into the room that he stayed in. And I always wondered, with all the strange things that had happened in this house, was it all UFOs? Because we have a pretty good indication that a lot of it was UFOs, considering one of them essentially parked right next to the house. But was there other paranormal activity going on at that location?
Well, do you remember anything weird or noticed it before any of the UFO stuff started happening?
There were a couple weird things that kind of freaked me out. Late one night, I walked into my room and I flipped the light switch and the light bulb exploded.
I bet that freaked
like,
you
did
out.
That happen? I mean, you see it in the movies, but when you're alone in a place where there's UFOs and there's people killing themselves, when you walk into the room and you're greeted with that, it's terrifying.
Well, and it also makes you wonder, what did he go through that caused that to happen to him?
I don't remember. I don't think it. If I remember correctly, it had nothing to do with her.
Well, I'm sure, but I mean, it's. I'm kind of wondering, were UFO experiences going on before you moved in, that something happened to him that he couldn't wrap his mind around, and it kind of drove him insane?
You know, it's interesting because I've never actually had that thought before. Huh. That's possible. That never occurred to me. I never connected the two. I always considered it two separate things, you know.
I mean, this whole experience could be that you've had, maybe if he had, should have been because of her. This could have been happening to her, and then everybody involved after that was just fresh meat.
I know when I moved in that she had no real conscious thoughts of UFOs and alien abductions. Because when I moved in, I was telling her about all the weird stuff. And she's, like I mentioned on the previous show, she said, oh, I'll put up with, you know, if you put up with my pot smoking, I'll put up with your aliens. Of course, she said that jokingly, which later she retracted the joking part of it and was a
sure
total believer after the stuff that happened. She thought I was just crazy and full of shit. And then, you know, yeah, that changed her mind. But now you've got me thinking, well, what if something, maybe she just has no awareness, but was going on with the other guy, you know? Like, why did he do that?
Right. I mean, because it kind of freaks me out to think that somebody would get the shotgun and go out there and do a test shot, which makes no sense to me. That's kind of like an attention getter, and it's like, you know, she just goes and gets the shotgun and then she's done with it. So there was something that was going on that she wasn't paying attention to anyway, or was maybe ignoring. I don't know. That's tragic.
It messed with her a lot, because, you know, she's not only is it the trauma of seeing something like that, and she was close to this guy too. It wasn't like she was just renting a room to him. I mean, you know, they were friends, and I remember for a long time, man, she was just messed up over the whole thing. She wasn't outwardly emotional about it, but I mean, you could tell when you're talking to somebody that's really kind of messed them up inside. So it was traumatizing for her, but, you know, also what was running through her mind was, what if she had hid her shotgun or, you know, hid the ammo, you know, he wouldn't have been able to do it. So I'm sure that there was a lot of guilt associated with that. But, I mean, you can't be guilty because you just don't know. I mean, you don't know what people are going to do.
No, and I mean, there's so many people that do commit suicide that you have no idea that is what's going to happen. I mean, there's a whole list of little signals that you can pick up on if you're paying attention. But, I mean, if somebody's just going around the house and then all of a sudden the next thing you know, they go into another room and then they shoot themselves, you didn't have any signals to pick up on there.
Yeah. Pretty wild stuff, let me tell you. So that was, you know, just that happened just prior to, I was basically replacing him. And so, yeah, what that played into anything, I don't remember any outward haunting kind of stuff going on. But like I said, I wish I'd kept a journal, because I'm sure that there was more stuff happening out there.
Well, especially with the part about you turning that object over to somebody for analysis and then they disappeared and it disappeared. That's pretty scary.
Yeah,
so that does happen a lot.
So it's going to, it might confuse the listeners, because unless you listen to last week's show, some of this isn't going to make sense. But I left out, because we were so short with time, I kind of left out some of the continuity kind of stuff and stuff that I did in between the big stuff that happened that I talked about. One of the things that happened with this strange, we'll just refer to it as an alien artifact that came out of that house where the suicide happened and the UFOs were, I hid it at a friend's cabin in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we're talking way out there, because I didn't want it in the house. And this was prior to me giving it to the researcher who then kept it in hiding for decades. So what was interesting about that is we were storing it at the, it is essentially a cabin out in the middle of nowhere. And not long after we hid it there, guess what? Somebody breaks into the cabin and doesn't take anything and searches the cabin. And I always wondered if they knew that it was there and was looking for it.
Sure. If they
like,
saw
it's
you
odd.
Go
why
there.
Why do you break into a cabin and not take anything? You know, somebody essentially just kicked in the door, searched the place. There were valuables there. They didn't take anything. And after that, I became so paranoid about storing it in a safe place. And I had a brilliant idea on a safe place to keep it. Again, this was before I got hooked up with a researcher who kept it secure. At the time, I was a loss prevention agent for a large retail company in Oregon. So basically, I just caught shoplifters and employees stealing, and I did that for like 16 years. And I thought the best place to hide this object would be at that work because, you know, there's alarm systems, there's surveillance cameras, and this, that. So I went into the security office and took it. And it was in a plastic vial, and I hid it in the walls, like behind an outlet kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I stored it there. And there it stayed for a long time until I got moved to a different store. So then I was like, I better collect this thing. And I had a heck of a time going into a store I don't work at, getting into the security office, taking it back. But I managed to do it. I mean, I still have keys to the place. I still work for the company. I just don't work at that location. And I went into the store one day, rushed into the office, took out a screwdriver and did the plate, grabbed my artifact and got out of there. And so there was a lot of cloak and dagger with regards to storing the alien artifact. And it's very, very interesting times. Of course, then I had hooked up with the researcher, and he took it, so I didn't have to worry about hiding it anymore.
Well, there's several stories of people that have found something alien-like, or, you know, pieces after a UFO sighting, you know, especially if they land or something like that. Of course, if one lands somewhere, you can guarantee it's going to be covered up quickly with military and all kinds of weird people. But there's people that have implants that are removed and they send them off for testing and things like that, and they're never to be seen again. I think there was even some kind of show on there. I think it was Patient 11 or Patient 12? I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, I did watch that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Where,
I can't,
you know,
which
and
one.
Then they're saying that this is exactly what it was. It was an implant, and this is what it was covered up in. And it was given all of this information saying that, yes, this was an alien implant. This, you know, what he was remembering, this man had been abducted. And then they get to asking more about it, and then they start backtracking on that story. And then they never could find, get a hold of any of the people again. So it makes you wonder, was it a lie in the first place, or did somebody get a hold of them and put the fear of God in them, and they decided to start backtracking and change their mind on the whole thing? I mean, it's there's so many different things that happen that you can't wrap your mind around, because you can't imagine that the military is going to show up at your door, the CIA or something, and they're going to threaten you and your family if you don't turn over this little piece of electronics, or if you don't, you got to keep your mouth shut and you can't talk about it. And then they'll turn around and they'll put out all of this disinformation. So you hear one story and then turn around and it's completely backwards. And I mean, no wonder everybody stays so confused all the time. We're constantly lied to. So when you think you're getting the truth, are you getting the truth? Or is that been spoon-fed to somebody so they can regurgitate it? I just, get tired of thinking about it sometimes because my mind just goes like in circles constantly.
It's hard to know what the truth is with disinformation. In my case, I mean, I was getting a lot of attention. I would be at my girlfriend's apartment, and there would be your classic federal government car sitting outside watching or following me around town or taking my picture. But honestly, no one ever approached me. No one ever came up to me and said anything. It was like, it was just kind of a mild harassment sort of thing, and just letting me know, hey, we know we're watching you, kind of thing. But with regards to my experiences, they started in California, if you remember, and then they carried into Oregon where all like the big stuff happened. But one thing I've always wondered is, you know, if I am so interesting to these alien creatures, and I'm just going to assume they're alien creatures, who knows, maybe it's the government, maybe it's they're really live on the earth, who knows. But assume that they're alien creatures and all this stuff happened over a series of many years. How come I never once saw anything strange camping in the middle of nowhere? And I mean, I camped a lot, weeks at a time. And I'm talking out there, hundreds of miles from anyone, just me and my buddy in the middle of the Oregon deserts, eastern, southern Oregon. I never once saw a UFO. I never once had any alien encounter that I can remember. In fact, I don't even remember anything weird ever happening on these long, long trips because I had an easy job at the time. I was an apprentice horseshoer, a farrier, you know, and so I didn't have to work so a lot of times. So I would just go out and we'd have so much fun riding ATVs, and we were rock hounds, so we were collecting rocks and stuff like that. But never once did ET come down and say, hey, yo, you know, we're probing you. Nothing.
Why would they send out invitations?
Well, they should. So why would these things happen in a series of years and then nothing? And even today,
you know,
I don't think it's happened in a while.
Well, and why do you hear so many of the famous stories of, like, Calvin Parker, for instance? I mean, something happened to him one time, and it was huge, and it was ugly, and it was awful, but it only happened once. And you keep talking about you repeating your story, and it's monotonous, and you don't want to keep going over it. Think about these people. I mean, and this is the one thing that happened to them. And I mean, but they have very vivid memories of it. They had pain, the unbearable pain. And they ended up in the hospital for days afterwards. And then they had the military visit them while they were in the hospital and things like that. That is something. And it was him and another guy. And Calvin went on with his life because he knew he had a family he had to take care of. He just went on with his life with that. The other guy talked about it constantly, and he'd talk about it to anyone that would want to listen and people that didn't want to listen, and it destroyed his life. But then it was years and years later when Calvin came out with his story, and I mean, and the stuff that happened was just unbearable. And that, you know, they had snuck into a place to go camping. And of course they were in the military and they went to this one area that was restricted. They weren't supposed to be in to go camping. And lo and behold, this abduction happens to them and they were both hospitalized afterwards with dehydration and burns and things like that had happened. So, but then was it the area that he was in and it was restricted for a reason and this is what happens if you go there? Or was this a one and done and we don't want to see you all anymore and they never come back?
So it seems to me like there are events where they're like abductions of opportunity. People going in high-risk areas. Then there seems like there's the other element, which is people that are abducted from birth and on. And then probably people that are like me, which have, maybe I've been abducted from birth, I have no idea. where there's just a series of years where there's stuff happens and then it stops. I mean, do you hear that? Is that kind of a normal thing? Like somebody's abducted once and then you have the next person that's been abducted since they were five, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I've heard that they have just light experiences in the beginning. Like they're just seeing lights in the sky that are behaving abnormally. And then it seems like it'll come back each time, each night. And then it gets a little bit more obvious that it's not just a random thing that's going on. And then that progresses into more contact or, you know, understanding. Like they get visions or something, and then it ends up being that that they get abducted. And it just makes me wonder, are they mad because you see them and they're trying to frighten you off and that doesn't work, so they get physical with you? Or did they get your attention for a reason?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just nobody knows the answers to any of it. And that's the bad part.
I believe you have people reporting a bunch of different species of aliens, most common being the Greys. I believe the Greys were involved in my encounters. What, with your research and your knowledge, I always felt that the Greys were just kind of emotionless drones. Have you heard that?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
It was very... Yeah, I mean, the dreams that I had and all this weird stuff that was going on, it's like being an animal, you know, and somebody darting you to run tests kind of thing. That's my interpretation of it. I know some people claim to have experiences with, like, these Nordic types and reptilians and stuff like that. I'm just trying to figure out what the motivation and what the purpose of these gray aliens is. Is it purely scientific? Is there something else going on? Why do some people have encounters with different species of aliens? They become enlightened and are given all this universal knowledge. Then there's other people that are yanked out of bed by these graves and get anal probes. You know, it's a broad spectrum of what people are encountering.
You're right, it is. And nobody knows the answer, but, you know, that's just like you and your neighbor are two totally different people. So, you know, he might be some kind of serial killer or whatever, and then here you are. You just want everybody to leave you alone so you can just eat your tacos and pizza and live a happy life.
Hell yeah.
There's just different types, just like they are people. I mean, and you've got some grays that are the little bitty grays that seem to be just the workers, and then you've got one that's bigger and seems to control all of them. You know, and then you can take this all the way to the far left, right, up, down, wherever you want to, and go with the theory that these are demons that you're dealing with, and it's not really aliens, but your mind is saying,
yeah, I don't.
Aliens. So there's
I've
a
heard that.
Whole bunch of theories out there.
All I know is those little bitty, you know, 4 foot, 3.5 foot grays, physically compared to me, are nothing. I could destroy them. So they must have some pretty powerful mental abilities and or technology to keep people, you know, subordinate and knock them out and stuff.
Oh yeah, you know, and the theory that these are the Greys are us in the future. Now that's just creepy. That's just real creepy. I'd hate to think that we turned into that.
That would have to be a lot in the future. That would have to be like millions of years in the future.
Yeah. That would be, you know, them just scrubbing the earth and going, okay, we're starting all over again. this is what everything's going to look like. We're not going to have the nestlings coming down and mating with the females anymore. We're going to make them all look like this so nobody will touch them.
Yeah, they're not exactly attractive.
No, they're not.
You're not going to see a TV show, America's Next Top Gray. That'd be a real boring show.
I hope not.
It
I don't know.
Same.
There'd be some people to watch it.
Well, it's all very confusing, and I don't know. You know, I'm still doubtful about all my experiences. Although there were times when there were other people with me. But who knows? Where did the scars on my back come? I have no idea.
Right.
I have scars on
Exactly.
So those... The scars on my back just showed up literally overnight, or at least I noticed them overnight. So this was when I noticed them. This was years after everything had happened with the artifact, with the UFOs. You know, this was well beyond everything that happened in California. I was living with I was about 18 or 19 years old, living with my father, and I like took a shower and I'm da-da-da-da-da, and I just happened to notice all these scars on my back. I mean, I'm not talking little red lines, I'm talking deep, and there was a bunch of them going from the base of my back almost to the middle of my back, and I'm like, what? And so I called my dad in, and like, he was perplexed by it, and I have no idea of where or when those showed up. And I even consulted some people in the medical field, and, you know, hey, are these stretch marks? Like, what, you know, what is this? And they're scars, and they're deep. Like, if you press down, they've almost disappeared now. I think they have completely disappeared now. But if you, like, you press down on them with your index finger, I mean, it's deep. It's like full thickness cut scar. And it wasn't like, it wasn't just like a three-finger thing where they're like all parallel to each other. Like, some were shorter, some were longer. They didn't all line up. And this went all the way up from the base of my, you know, pretty much from my tailbone to the center of my back. And like, what's that about? If that has something to do with alien contact, what's so important in my back? What are they doing to my back? Are they little gray bastards torturing me? What's going on?
Yeah, they could have been doing some kind of testing with that, because there's a lot of reports of people with, of course, they wake up with bruises that they didn't have the day before, and then they wake up the next morning and they're there. People, after having, remembering an experience, and they'll have a scar, or they'll look down and they'll have a place and it looks like a healed cut, like it would have been a month old or something, and it had left a scar that they never had before. So something that they've got can really somehow or another, they can make it heal faster. They cut you open and then they can close it back up, and then it of course, then you got to think about, you know, how far in time did they take you? Did you stay in the same time? Of course, there's a lot of that. People think that they've been gone for hours and hours, and then they look at their watch and they've only been gone for 30 minutes. So time isn't exactly a thing of importance when it comes to this.
I questioned my mom about, you know, I said, somewhat recently, I'm like, hey, did I ever like go missing as a child, or, you know, did anything weird ever happen? And she was like, no. So I don't know when this stuff began.
So what was their opinion that was happening to you? I mean, they had to know something was off.
Well, first of all, let me just give you a little background. I am the only one in my family without a PhD. My mom is a very, very, very successful psychology author. My father is a PhD in statistics. My sister, a PhD in psychology. And that's my mom as well, obviously, a PhD in psychology. So these are people that don't accept anything beyond, you know, what they can see in their little tangible world and what their education systems have taught them. Anything beyond that, they just think it's all a bunch of nonsense. So I didn't have a lot of support talking about the paranormal as a child.
But, I mean, they didn't, like, you were crazy or needed to be institutionalized or anything like that.
No, but they always sent me to, like, private schools. I went to military school, too. That was an interesting experience.
Yeah, I bet that was for you. Wow.
Let me tell you something. This ain't paranormal, but that was a defining moment of my young life, was being sent to the oldest military school in the country called St. Catherine's. It's in Anaheim, California. And they accept everything up from little tiny kids and up. And, man, see, it was run. I don't know if it still is. I believe it is. But back in the 80s, it was run by Catholic nuns. I mean, they had, like, the head guy there is like a colonel or something, but it was run by nuns, and they weren't nice nuns. And one time, you know, everything's walking in formations, it's uniforms. I mean, it's just like the army, showering, one big shower with a bunch of dudes, and everybody's junk hanging out. Yeah. Anyway, so I in line after class, I literally was standing right next to a water fountain to get a drink of water, and I just leaned over just an itty bit to get a drink of water, and the nun grabs me and, like, slams my head into it, and I'm, like, bleeding. Cruel place.
Good Lord.
Maybe it's, yeah, it was hardcore, living in dormitories and stuff like that, and sleepwalking, and yeah, anyway. It just, now that I just mentioned that, it just reminded me of sleepwalking, and I was like, oh shit, I did sleepwalk a lot as a kid. I wonder if that has any connection to the UFO thing.
You never know. I mean, do you do that anymore?
No, thank God, no. Not that,
yeah,
I'm aware of.
Say, that's weird. Sleepwalking freaks me out because I've never seen anybody do this, and I hope I don't ever. But for somebody to get up and go to the refrigerator or go take a stroll down the street and not know that they're doing it, and then just waking up. Of course, there's, you know, sometimes they try to use that explanation for being abducted or having missing time or things like that.
Yeah, I think I know it's common when you're young, but I got to tell you this. This isn't paranormal relation. I've had two really, really embarrassing situations in my life. The first one, the most embarrassing, I can't talk about. It's completely inappropriate. Mm-hmm. But the second most embarrassing situation in my life had to do with sleepwalking. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, of course. I always want to hear something that embarrasses the shit out of you.
It is so fun. I mean, now I laugh about it, but when you're... So I was a police explorer. Are you familiar with what that is?
Yes, yes.
You know, our local police department, and I was had a uniform and do all, like, traffic stuff and hang out with the cops, do ride-along, stuff like that. Well, we had an opportunity as police explorers to go to Southern California to the Naval Training Center, stay there for, I don't remember how long, like a week, and live like the Navy and do all the Navy kind of stuff. And so we get there, and we're in the regular Navy quarters. That training center, I believe, has been abolished. It's not there anymore. This was sometime in the 80s, but it was the big naval processing station in Southern California, San Diego. And so you get there, and the drill people, the Navy people, treat you just like they do. So there was somebody that had stinky socks. He had to mail his socks to his parents. Somebody didn't make their bed right. They literally took the mattress and threw it out the window. It was like three stories up, you know?
Oh, wow.
And so you had, yeah, yeah. And we're kids, for God's sake. Like, come on. Anyway, so you're in these huge dormitories, and when lights out, lights out. They don't let you get up to take a leak, right? So one night, I'm in the dormitory, and I went to sleep. I didn't go to the bathroom because, you know, God forbid I get in trouble for that. So the next thing I know, I wake up in the bathroom in my skivvies holding my blanket. You know, I just came to. I must have slept, walked to the bathroom. Not a huge problem, but it gets worse. So I'm like, okay, I just go back to my bed. So I go back to my dormitory, go to my cot. There's somebody sleeping in my bed, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing in my bed? Well, nobody had fallen asleep, so everybody busts up laughing. I'm standing there in my underwear with a blanket. Everybody's laughing at me, and I'm confused why some dude's in my bed. What I had determined later was I had walked to the wrong dormitory.
So, oh, no.
I took a left when I should have taken a right, you know, and 80 people are laughing at me. So I finally figured it out, and I ended up getting back to my bunk, and I was so concerned. I knew the next day I was going to catch hell from people, you know, making fun of me and stuff like that. And the next day, no one said a word. That was pretty amazing.
Wow, that is weird. Thankfully,
yeah,
they didn't. It was painful enough as it was.
It was pretty traumatic. But maybe I was abducted from the Naval Training Center in San Diego. And they just dumped me off in the bathroom. Who knows? Who knows?
Either that or you really weren't where you thought you were when you woke up.
Yeah, it's terrible. But, yeah. Crazy times.
I don't know. It's just so weird how everybody's experience is usually different, but there's always some little same fact goes on during an abduction. How it starts and how it ends is usually different, but there's some things in between that are usually all the same.
And then the skeptic is going to say, oh, well, it's all psychological, you know, it's like mass hallucinations and it's the media, that, you know, and all these shows are making it commonplace for people to have the same information about how abduction occurs, and it's all psychosomatic and all that. I believe it's real. Whether or not it's actually happened to me, I can't say for sure. I suspect it has, but I also could be in denial.
You will always be in denial.
Do I want to know? Do I want to know? No. If I'm being abducted, I would appreciate not knowing, because I think it's terrifying.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that keep having contact. They, you know, they have the initial contact, and then this happens to them again throughout their life, and they have several different experiences and abductions, and you know, they're terrifying in the beginning, but by the end of it, they're okay with it, and they seem to have a real peace over them, and they talk about how their experiences was nothing but short of enlightening, and gives them love and hope for everything else. And it's hard for me to wrap my head around that, because it's so terrifying. This is happening to you, and this is the stuff they're doing to you. How in the world does it go from that point to where you're okay with, if you get to see them again, and you hope that you get to see them again, and you hope you have continued visits with them?
They must have some kick-ass aliens out there taking people, because I don't see how that could ever be at peace with something like that.
I don't either. And that always blows my mind. It's like, there's a lot of them, and you'll ask them, would you want to ever experience anything like this again? And they would say yes. And these are the ones that had the continued visitations. So I don't know if they are being told or made to think that this is a good thing, this is your, this is normal, this is how your life is supposed to be. I don't know, but somehow or another, there's several of them that would want to keep having that contact with aliens. I think it's because they think they're getting knowledge given to them that nobody else would have, because you have, there's reports of them, people having visions of nuclear war and things like that. That's a very common vision that people come back with after they've been abducted. What does it mean? I don't know. But are they telling you the things like this to calm you down, to think that maybe you're knowing something that nobody else does?
First of all, I don't think nuclear war is ever going to happen. I mean, it's mutually assured destruction. One person launches a nuke, everyone's going to die. But why would they why would they show somebody that? Like, what's the thought process behind showing somebody cataclysmic events? It's not like most of the people being abducted are super powerful politicians. You can't do much about it.
Right. I kind of think that in the human mind, they're being shown special information or something secretive and something that nobody else knows about, or kind of like psychics, you know, you get a psychic vision or whatever, and not everybody gets that. So maybe sometimes abductees think that's special and that they're given special information. I don't know. I don't know that thought process.
From a skeptic psychological side, when I think of somebody is having situations or experiences that make them feel special, I mean, what does everybody want? Everybody wants to feel special. So
right.
Why not? So they could be fabricating something in their mind so that they feel special. Everybody wants to feel special.
Right. And I don't know if it's, you know, if you make up too much stuff, I mean, there's a lot of seasoned investigators and that can pick up on BS with somebody's abduction story. But, you know, to keep the sanity of the person, maybe the Grays just seem to think that they need to tell them, make them feel special. Here's some information nobody else has.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know. Don't have a clue.
I don't know.
Hope I never understand that.
Do you want to be abducted?
No, thank you.
Because there's people that do, and I don't understand it.
I don't either. And it's just, it's not fun. It's not, I mean, it's awful. It changes everything. I mean, and it can destroy your mind. It will definitely destroy your life. And it's up to you of whether you're strong enough mentally to come back from it and then move about your regular days. But man, I mean, it's crazy. I don't know why anybody would. I mean, I can understand why somebody would want to see a ghost. I get that, you know. But to be abducted, hell no. Mm-mm.
Well, I see that we do have somebody to call in, so let's see who this is. Maybe they have a question or can give us some input, or maybe they're just listening. I don't know, but we got to wrap it up. We got a few minutes left, though. Let me bring this person on. Hey, who's this? It's Paranormal Horizons.
Hey, I'm just listening to you guys talk. I was just listening, you know. I have a lot of ideas of what I think about all that stuff, but like I said, I'm just listening.
Okay, you want to share any ideas?
It's, you know, I was getting deep into it, thinking about it and stuff, and I have my moments where I'm going into has my attention, you know, and I was going into it, but I haven't really processed it enough. all the information. There was so much to look at. It wasn't that I was disagreeing with any of it. But, like, for instance, I can't remember the guy's name that was out of that Area 51. He was one of the guys that was brought on there to do work and stuff.
Oh, Robert Lazar? Or Bob Lazar?
Yeah, yeah. So I was kind of peeping his stuff, and stuff like that. So, but, I don't know. I'm just kind of looking at it, though.
Cool. Well, I'll put you back on hold so you can keep listening.
Yeah, cool. All right. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Well, that brings up Bob Lazar. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah.
Are you?
That was kind of sketchy there, too, for a while with him. As far as information coming from him.
So here's a guy that come out, I don't know, it was the late 80s, early 90s. He claimed to work at Area 51 or S4, which is a facility close to Area 51. And he's seen them. Apparently he worked on the propulsion systems of one of the disks and, saw it fly and this and that. But there had to have been something to the story because he left there and met with some people, some friends of his, and said, hey, they're going to do a test of this craft on this date at this time. Let's go check it out. And sure enough, they went out there and saw some activity of this craft. So if he was making it up, he had, he took out other witnesses there. And then the government, he ended up not working there anymore, and the government started to erase his history, and he managed to pull up some evidence that he had worked at some places like Los Alamos. I don't remember if it was Los Alamos or Sandia, but he definitely was able to produce some background that he was getting checks from, like, the Department of Defense or Navy. And so they pretty much just wiped out his background, and I kind of believe his story, honestly. It's fascinating.
Well, I mean, if you look at him, and then you look at Phil Snyder, and the completely total difference between their two stories and the things that they experienced. And look what happened to Phil. I mean, number one, his story is hard to believe simply because it is so far out there. But then Bob Lazar's, I mean, he would be more that you would look at as more believable because he worked there and he did these things and he had proof of it. But it's so hard to trust people. And, it's just like, okay, well, he came out with it and then he kind of shut up with it for a little while. And were they making him tell lies, give disinformation? You are the denial. I am the, I don't trust anybody. Things like that.
Bob Lazar had an interesting experience a couple of years ago. He supposedly, and I don't know if he denies this or not, but some information came out somewhere to where he had a small sample of this metal that was used in these UFOs or whatnot. So he owns a company, I believe it's United Nuclear. I could be wrong on the name. Anyways, he owns this company that sells stuff like, he sells raw elements and stuff like that, radioactive stuff and stuff like that. So he was raided by the FBI with overwhelming force. And the excuse that the FBI said they were raiding his business was because of an order a customer had made or something like that. But the raid was so outrageous, going in with guns out. And it always makes you wonder if they were looking for this element that he allegedly had, and it gave them an excuse to search his business. And there's some videos of it out there that he put out that show part of this raid. And so it makes you just wonder if the government's really watching this guy, because I'm sure they are.
Well, and I will say, the people, when you first come out with a story that's, you're kind of like scratching your head going, oh my gosh, is he really telling the truth or not? You look at his history. I mean, he's never wavered. I mean, so yes, the, you know, the years and years that he has gone through this, and he's not, he's put his life at risk, and he's been in the public eye, and a lot of people think that if I come out in public and the, everybody's watching me, maybe nothing will happen to me. I won't get killed. And then poor Phil Snyder, that didn't work out for him, and I don't know if his ex-wife ever got his death certificate fixed or not, because there for a long time it was talking about suicide. Well, the way they were saying he had killed himself, there was absolutely no physical way for him to do it. So they were, they had to fight over that in court, and I don't know if I ever heard how that came out.
Yeah, it's amazing how people suddenly have accidents, you know.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, the brakes go out in their vehicles, and they have these horrible wrecks and things like that. And just
plane crashes is a big one, too. Plane crashes and heart attacks.
Yeah, well, I'm never flying on a plane with you, thank you very much, because I don't want it coming down because of the crap you've been talking about for years on the radio.
I know. How come they haven't, like, how come I haven't been, like, thrown off a bridge but yet? Hey, I just want to say, if I ever just disappear, like, it, you know, it wasn't suicide. It was like somebody in the government got rid of me.
Well, I'll search the casinos first.
Well, yeah, you have to search the casinos.
If I can't find you there, then I might, you know, worry about it, but just hide your shotgun.
Oh, God. Well, we got to wrap it up. So we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. or 8 p.m. West Coast time. We'll do another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I want to thank everybody for listening, and have a safe and fantastic week, and stay COVID-free. And as usual, we'll just pick a subject last minute, because that's just kind of how things operate, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be working out that way.
Yeah, there's always stuff to talk about. I do want to do a show on, I mentioned to you, on some outrageous fringe paranormal subject. What that is, I don't know.
I don't know, but somebody stop by our Facebook page sometime and throw an idea in there on what you'd like to hear us maul about and, you know, talk like, sound like idiots. We're good at that.
Yes. Yeah, any suggestions would be fantastic. And our Facebook page is still kind of in the doldrums. I mean, we went from reaching 1 to 6 million people a week, and now, oof, we got to figure out. I don't know what their algorithm is on Facebook, but everything just tanked. And I'm sure it's not – I wish I understood how that all worked, because I don't see how we can go from that to, you know.
Did you pay attention to the post I made that – kind of tanked it for a little bit? I think we've been shadow banned again.
I think we're on like some Facebook naughty list or something, and they're throttling our views or the ability for people to see our stupid posts.
Yeah, well, that happens, and apparently my view is not it was shared quite a bit.
Did you make somebody mad?
Yeah, I'm good at that, Jason. I really am.
word. Well, unless you have anything else, Maria, I think I'm going to go find something to eat, and I've got some realtor texts to review, so.
All right, have fun with that house hunting.
I will. I'll keep you all posted. And again, I hope everybody has a safe week, and we'll see everybody next Sunday. And again, if give us some suggestions on our Facebook page, and we can come up with a subject. We've done so many episodes on Paranormal Horizons. I don't even know how many. 300. We've literally, the way I feel about it is we've talked on every subject to death. And so it's harder and harder to find new material to talk about.
Right. I've said this before, it's maybe old to us, but it may be new to somebody else. And if you want to hear about a subject, just throw it out there and we'll hit it and see what we can come up with.
Sounds good. Well, with that, good night, everyone.
Good night.